You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last Thursday, an Australian federal court ruled that the Australian government has a duty to care to reduce climate change impacts from new mine approvals. This comes after a group of New South Wales students brought about the case, claiming climate change impacts from Whitehaven Coal Limited's new mine expansion would threaten their futures. I spoke to Catherine Iorns McGallans about the ruling, who is a professor of environmental law at the Victoria University of Wellington. I began by asking about the case's significance and what it meant for new mine expansions.
This case is huge for recognising that governments, and ministers in this case, decision makers, owe a duty of care to future generations not to cause them harm, and that includes through climate change effects.
The ruling is not binding, though, and Whitehaven Coal Limited have announced that they'll work towards federal protection to allow the expansion. Do you think that this limits its ability to have substantial impacts?
The decision is binding in one sense, but not in another. So it's not binding on the coal company because this action was not taken against the coal company. So this is where you have to understand the different types of law involved. So you get some statutes, right, that Parliament passes. In this case, we've got a statute that enables a minister to make a decision, right? And you also have what we call the common law, which judges have made, you know, for centuries. So, for example, negligence, you know, this duty not to cause harm to someone else, is something judges invented before there were parliaments. And we've got this law of negligence on our books that if you want to take an action, we call it a civil suit, against another person, could be your neighbour, you know, for example, you can say this person is causing me harm and they have a duty not to cause me harm. And you can, in this case, what they did, they were using that law and they tried to get an injunction, which is a mechanism to stop someone doing something in advance. Well, mostly negligence says you've caused me harm and now you need to pay me damages or fix it somehow. But judges control that law of negligence. So this case was an interesting mix, right? So it was a case against the minister, and the children were arguing that the minister has a duty of care under negligence law not to cause the children harm in the future. They asked for an injunction to stop him making a decision to extend the coal mine, which he gets under a statute, because making that decision would cause them all that harm if he extended the coal mine. And so what was huge about this case is, remember, there's two things going on. One, you're asking the judge recognises this duty of care. It's never been done before, so that's brand new to say that a minister owes children of the future, children now, but sort of an adult, you know, in the future, but because of what's going to happen in the future, owes them a duty not to harm them, and therefore, in the decision on whether to approve a coal mine, not to make that decision. And so there's one thing, you owe the duty, but the second thing is, what do you do if he does owe the duty? And they said the court has to prevent him from making the decision, has to order an injunction, prevent him from approving it. And the case, actually, they lost on that point. The judge agreed that he has this duty, and that's huge, and that's what people are celebrating, because no court has found that duty before in the same world. They have, not in Australia, they have, not in New Zealand, they haven't. They have done so in the Netherlands. This is where they found that kind of duty to future generations, but not in Australia or New Zealand, and not in negligence law. So that is this major win. Now, what actually happened is, of course, the court said, yeah, but you haven't given us enough evidence as to why you need the injunction. And they didn't say that it wasn't possible. They said an injunction might be possible, but they've given a lot of conditions and tests for how you get an injunction, and they didn't meet them. They didn't give enough evidence to prove that point. So if you haven't proven it, unfortunately, you can't get your injunction. So the children didn't get their injunction. The minister can still make the decision. And one of the reasons the judge said they didn't get the injunction was because without that evidence, they said, well, what if the minister could still make could still fulfill his duty, or her, in this case, duty of care? What if the minister could still fulfill the duty of care, but with a different, you know, format of a decision, maybe not just a blanket all on or all off, maybe there's something in the middle that could be negotiated? And it's those kinds, that kind of language, that obviously the coal companies picked up on, going, well, let's help the minister make a decision that's in the middle, that allows us to do some kind of expansion, but still fulfill the duty of care to the children of the future. So that's why you've got something that looks incongruous. It's partly because of the type of laws involved and then the type of action that was taken and what the judge said about it.
So do you think that this is something that may become more common worldwide if government and companies fail to act on climate change?
Yes. People are looking for ways to stop the juggernaut of destruction. Right. It is true. And this, okay, so for people who haven't seen it, you might have seen an op-ed of like 800 words. Well, this case is 160 pages long. There's 50 pages just on the science of climate change, and then more again on the particular harms that they will cause to these children in the future, you know, such as the heat waves, the bushfires, you know, other direct impacts. There's, you know, the health impacts, and the judge goes into these in detail. So what's coming at people in the future is catastrophic. If we don't do something about it, it will make the world uncivilized. You know, people talk about the end of civilization. That's because chaos and conflict is what we call people being uncivilized. We have democracies, so we act in a civilized manner, right? That's all we're talking about. So if we all become uncivilized, yes, it'll be unmanageable. And of course, it's your parents, you know, the people in decision-making powers now that have benefited most from the use of these fossil fuels. So, very long answer to why, yes, it will become way more common in the future because people are looking for ways to stop the worst outcomes eventuating. And we know that we've got to do that really quickly. You know, once ice has started melting, it's really hard to stop it. We can't have an overshoot, for example, and then try and pull it back. We actually have to stop getting up to these warmer temperatures in the first place. There's no sort of techno fix after we've gone past the point of no return, right? So the way to do that is sometimes, I love this phrase of throw a stick or a spanner in the works, a stick in the spokes or a spanner in the works of the juggernaut of destruction. And one way to do that is to take a case and just force someone to stop now before you get Parliament to agree on changes that are needed, for example, or a company thinking they can get away with making money just that little bit longer until they're forced to stop. And that's what these cases do. As soon as you see that, right, there's a novel duty, here's a novel duty of care, it was recognised in Australia, let's recognise that here. You know, we have, you can't say it's exactly the same law in New Zealand as we do in Australia, even the common law, no, we develop it slightly differently, but that the basic, these ideas around recognising a novel duty of care, well, it's the same kinds of factors and considerations, and so our judges could look at that and go, okay, we could recognise that duty of care here, and yes, we'll, you know, when someone wants to take a case now based on that, they could do the same kind of thing.
On a bit of a larger scale, the 2020 budget set around $2.3 billion for carbon-reducing projects, which many climate activists have said is nowhere near enough. Do you think that the government is doing enough on climate change?
Look, I don't, I'll be honest, no. And the main thing is people... This is the problem, actually, with a democracy as a decision-making tool in what's effectively an emergency, right? We have a set of decision-makers that has to please everybody or else they get voted out. So they're trying to balance off those who don't want to change with those who do. And I don't want to say you, this is maybe appealing to your student audience, grey power votes more than students do, right? Think of if you want to get more change and more decision-making more quickly, then you have to change the decision-makers in a democratic system because they have to all show that your voice is louder and stronger, so there is more political cost for not following your decision. But it's really hard to get those in the power who've been doing the same old for how many years to, you know, and where... interests are entrenched. People have got investments and lives, you know, huge billions of dollars tied up in an existing status quo, and to get people to move that is really hard. So if they do the slightest little bit of change, then someone else comes down on them like a ton of bricks. and threatens to vote them out. So, yeah, they're not doing enough. They're doing what they think they can get away with politically, right? And but that shouldn't be the criteria, should it? The decision makers should be doing what's absolutely necessary. But then, what happens if what's necessary, no one else, the person that holds your job, doesn't think you need to do it?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.